I want to talk tonight about spiritual warfare, partly on the back of the scripture that Trish talked from on Sunday, but also because of events that have followed me last week. And I thought it would be good to air it. It's not really so much a sort of how-to practical, but to raise awareness for our consideration and prayer, okay? But if I read the passage, part of the passage Trish touched on Sunday, from Acts chapter 19, I'm going to read from verse 11. It says, God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day, the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all, and he gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. When this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed what they had done. A number who'd practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. Interesting expression at the end there, isn't it? How the word of the Lord grew in power. So one of the things that really hits me from that is how you didn't need to explain to people in those days about the existence of evil spirits. Inside the synagogue and outside the synagogue, it was a known fact of life. And it's something which I think we in our day and culture have grown almost insensitive to. And so I think it's something I want to stir afresh in our hearts and minds. I was teaching on this topic by request in a sister church just the other day. And after I brought my teaching on spiritual warfare, one of the sisters in the room started to manifest a demonic spirit, and it left her with loud shrieks, just as you find in the Bible. Very often when demons leave people, they don't go willingly. They desperate to stay in the person, and they leave really in a distressed state with shrieks. And then I was at another meeting the very next day, and another sister who had attended that first meeting, and I'd gone to pray for her at that meeting, and you could tell that she wasn't listening, she wasn't present, but she looked very bound up. But if a person is just closed off to you, you can't do anything. So I walked on and prayed for others. But she started to pour her heart out to me, and through the very unpleasant things that were going on in her life, it was quite obvious that she was demonized. And I could begin to sense it as she talked, this cult, this evil presence as I spoke to her. And so I offered to pray for her, and it turned into another full-blown deliverance session. You know, she was coughing, her face was contorting, she was vomiting, she was belching, for you know, to an Olympic standard, she got free. And I received a text from her yesterday, I believe it was. And she says, I asked her how she was getting on. And her reply was, it's going really well. Lots of crying, joy, laughing and praising God. Feel very free and just don't know what to do with myself, exclamation mark. I prayed for a few people Friday night and it was very different and strong prayer. God is so good. And so he is. And that's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah.
She's for a long time has been bound up, a lovely believer. And she explained to me how it happened. It's another story, but she'd allowed herself to get drawn into a situation with some pastors' wives, would you believe, in the locality where she'd been living. And they were getting into really weird stuff. You know, I won't go into that, but she got suckered. In terms of spiritual warfare, I have a feeling that this subject is going to come to the fore a lot more in the days ahead. The more and more our society walks in a different direction to God's ways, I think this is just going to become more and more apparent. And something that we as disciple makers are going to have to bite the bullet on, something that we're going to have to grow in our ability to help people in this area. We live, don't we, in a materialistic, quite cynical culture, a culture which I think is largely insensitive to spiritual realities, particularly such things as the demonic, and that applies inside the church as well. But the truth is, our world is governed more by the invisible realm than it is by, you know, our earthly rulers, leaders. The Bible makes that very clear. And so many problems, I would suggest, and crises that we try to resolve with natural means, if you like, are not going to work. You know, with counselling, medicine or politics, these things aren't going to resolve what are fundamentally spiritual problems in people's lives. You have to answer spiritual problems with Holy Spirit. Looking at the example of Jesus, obviously, it was a huge part of his ministry, wasn't it? Healing and casting out evil spirits from people, setting them free. And even things that we might have put down as entirely natural, he rebuked that storm, didn't he? Where he was asleep in the boat, his disciples were in a panic. The boat was getting deluged in this great storm. And don't you care that we're all about to drown? And Jesus actually rebuked the storm. He, in the original language, he says something like, be muzzled. He rebukes it. And we can work out that was actually a demonically inspired storm. We can, it's pretty easy to work that out because the other side of the lake, you know what he met. It was the demoniac who revealed himself to be called Legion because he was full of so many demons. The most famous deliverance story in the New Testament. And those powers of darkness saw Jesus coming across to cast them out. They knew what was coming. And they tried to kill the Messiah. And you and I might have thought, oh, no, it was a dreadful storm. We should have read the weather forecast. But Jesus was so switched on to the spiritual realm that he could discern it and he knew what was going on. And I think all too often, you and I probably are tackling things in a natural way when actually it should be answered in prayer or in asserting the authority that Jesus has given us. In 1 John 5:19, John says, we know that we are from God and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one, which gives you some sense of scale, doesn't it? When you think about the scale of the challenge that not just part of the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And when you read your newspapers or look at the news, it matches, doesn't it? You can see that this is true. Demons deceive people. They blind them spiritually. You know, if I had time, I would share various stories with you from my own experience, praying with people and different scenarios. They inflict sickness. We find that in Jesus' ministry. They bring mental torment, and they blight people's lives in countless ways. There are degrees of oppression we might suffer. They might bring persecution to the believer, accusation, calamity, irrational events. Sometimes when we're under a spiritual attack, just one thing after another goes wrong, and you think, what's going on? And nothing, people fall out with you who you're good friends with. It's irrational events. Spiritual confusion can come upon us, and just like a spiritual fatigue, a tiredness. And the most extreme form of oppression, of course, is when we become demonized, where actually a demon attaches itself, perhaps more than one, to our lives, indwells us or attaches itself to us in such a way as to bring us into bondage. And various things might lead to that situation. It could be a whole range of things. It could be some trauma that's been experienced. It can be that there's something wrong in our family line, that it could be some sort of sense of family curse, or that through sin in the family, something really unhealthy has been brought into the mix. It can be quite simply us stepping outside of God's commandments, trespassing into areas that he's warned us not to travel. When we break God's commandments, we actually put ourselves in the vulnerable position. In Ecclesiastes 10, verse 8, it says, whoever digs a pit may fall into it. And whoever breaks through a wall may be bitten by a snake. And that's quite illustrative of what happens to the person who feels, well, I can ignore God's commandments and there will be no consequence. But we actually make ourselves vulnerable to the power. We give the powers of darkness legal access to our lives because we've stepped outside God's protection that he so graciously provides us. It's a safe place being in Jesus. It's a safe place when we walk in obedience to him. But I'm not primarily even talking tonight about within the church, though these things can apply within the church, as I've illustrated from those two lovely sisters that they are lovely sisters who've come into freedom in just the last week. But I'm thinking particularly of those out there in the world that we're hoping to minister to more and more in the days ahead of us. And we need to realize that actually some people are going to come to us who need more than counseling, more than just comfort. They're going to actually need setting free from powerful forces of spiritual wickedness. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the spiritual gift, discerning of spirits, and whereby God makes the invisible realm apparent to us. He opens up what would otherwise be, we'd be oblivious of. He lets us know what's going on, and it could be discerning what's going on in the human spirit. These are things that we've all experienced at times, that you just know what's going on in someone's life, even though there's nothing outwardly to give it away. I could tell you stories on all of these different things. Discerning the presence of angels, that's by far my favorite, alongside discerning what the Holy Spirit's doing. It's an important gift, and it's one that we need to ask Jesus to equip us with more and more. Do you agree? And my least favorite is when actually the Holy Spirit finds it necessary to make us aware of what's going on demonically in a situation or in a life. And again, I could share a whole range of stories on that. He helps us to see, to sense, or to hear. There's been a number of occasions where excuse me, God has opened my eyes to see, not just like with my eyes shut in the mind's eye, but as I'm looking at your faces on the screen, that God's opened up the spiritual realm so that I can actually physically see what's going on spiritually. And I've, on those occasions, I've been, I think most of all, shocked, surprised to see just how many demons were involved in different situations. I've been in, you know, more than one situation where the room has been filled with demonic presence. And I think we can so underestimate the scale of the war that we're involved with. But I want to quickly add that we know from the Bible that far more are they that are with us than they that are against us. That, you know, if our eyes are open, that there's far more angels. And let me also say that I'm not sharing this to make us nervous or fearful. It's because we want to help a hurting world, don't we? And we want to also walk wisely and well so that we ourselves don't put ourselves in danger, of course. But we have authority. I could again share stories where God's opened my eyes to see what's going on. And I've gone to rebuke and to take authority. And before I even get to the name of Jesus, they have fled. They've gone like the wind. They just disappear. Even they're too afraid to even wait for me to get to the name of Jesus. We have tremendous authority. It's Jesus' authority. And praise God for that. So we have authority in Christ, and it's on the basis of our faith. It's on the basis of our obedience and our prayer life. We need like a prayer reservoir that we can call upon so that when we are confronted with these situations, we've got something in the spiritual piggy bank that we can call upon to reinforce what we do. Jesus said, you know, that on one occasion, this type doesn't come out except by prayer. We need a prayer life. This isn't a party game, and it's not something for us to be running around getting involved with as individuals, and it's not something for us to be doing if we're not walking right with God. It's not something for us to get involved with on our own or if we're inexperienced. You know, come alongside others who are experienced and learn from them. But I think a lot of harm can be done when we get cavalier and cocky. It's not an area to mess around in. But I do repeat, we have a fantastic Savior. It's Jesus. It is what he has achieved. It's his authority. but it's a strange area, and that we need the help of the Holy Spirit, and we need his leading. And I never assume that someone is demonized. It's something I want to discern by the Holy Spirit. You know, it's not just, oh, you've done this, you've done that, oh, therefore you're demonized, or this and that happens to you, oh, it must be a demon. You've got to rely on the spiritual discernment that the Holy Spirit gives you. Much more needs to be said, of course. But like I said, I've just shared this. You can understand after a week where I've seen two quite powerful, dramatic deliverances take place in the name of Jesus, that this is high in my mind. And I feel stirred that we need to be engaging in this area more, but wisely and well. And if we're not personally involved, we need to be praying for those who will be. So I'm in our life groups, where Tony is going to place us in just a moment. Perhaps you'd like to turn up that passage in Acts 19 that I referred to, and it was from 11 to 20, and just bat it around, perhaps read it again as a group. Just what does that passage highlight to you? What does that say to you? And pray for one another. And of course, let's not forget, our world is hurting, isn't it? It's really hurting. So I don't share this to in any way to produce fear. I'm actually full of joy. That sister, to remind you, she says, I don't know what to do with myself. She's just come into such an experience of release. A lady who was shut down and just like dead while she was alive. Hallelujah. Thanks, Tony. I'll hand back to you.